We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You're listening to Broncos for Breakfast.
Episode of Broncos for Breakfast. I am Nick Kendall, flying solo today with my trusty Lion coffee as well as a box Kleenex. Gonna do a shorter show today. A cold has hit the Kendall household, and our baby Mills has his first cold as well. So not a lot of sleeping going on and just trying to survive. So shorter show today, but I couldn't leave this family hanging as well. So yeah, hashtag Nick's tissue fund today, or whatever you guys want to call it. But we're here. We're gonna talk everyone's favorite position, the running backs in the draft. As we fly solo, Scott has a much needed vacation right now on spring break. So I hope Scott's having a great time. And we're going to be short today, 20, 30 minutes, unless the super chats are just flowing like crazy. And that point, I'll just, you know, suffer through. But feeling okay, just I sound worse and I'm so tired because the baby is coughing and having a hard time. The tub drain stopped working too, so it's falling. Our pets' heads are falling off. We're doing our best, but thank you everybody coming in. See that mic light coming in from Michael Mills as well. Nice last name there, Mills. Mills is our son's first name. So let's say hello to some people coming in the chat. We got David Youngkin coming in saying, "Morning everyone. The biggest need I think is the Broncos have bigger holes to fill than the running back position. We'll get into it. Sean Burns coming in saying, "Good morning." Jamal Killings, my guy, saying, "Morning, Broncos country. Hope you're doing well." Dave Glassman in the house. Jess Canady, good to see you. Cloud9 comes in and says, "JJ is overrated." He very well might be. I would be perfectly happy taking him at 12. It's the conversation of trading up for him where I start to prickle a bit. I think he's worth the risk at 12, but when you're talking 12 plus a 2025 first, plus pick 76 this year, plus maybe even more, I don't think I would do that. I don't think I would do that for McCarthy or Jaden Daniels. Now, if you can move up to like 9 or 10 and not pay very much, but I'd be really skeptical slash prickle at the thought of trading a 2025 first for non-Caleb Williams, non-Drake May. I like Drake May a lot still, but seems to be not so much for some people. I don't know. Do we have Mr. Roush coming in saying, "Morning, Broncos for breakfast. Good to see you." He also says, "I think P. Ryan is more than capable. Is nice all-around back. Doesn't mean you can't draft and develop." Yeah, we'll get into the running back talk here. Bama X, good morning, Broncos country. Happy Monday. We got Jess coming in and said, "I read somewhere that we were looking at a running back in round 3. Yeah, we'll talk about that. Sean Burns says, "I watched some Bo Nix. He does have some touch, but he has missed open receivers for touchdown at times. All in all, looks like a decent quarterback." Yeah, I if you guys get a chance, I think some of the better draft coverage out there is from Dane Brugler and Nate Tice over The Athletic. They had, Robert Mays, who does their NFL lead stuff. Very smart, really good stuff. And, man, they went in on Nick's Rattler and Penix just for being very much day two quarterbacks. I thought I was a little bit, you know, harsh on Knicks, and they were much harsher than me. So I don't know. I guess I'm more optimistic than a lot of folks, but they kept throwing around the Taylor Heineke stuff with Knicks. And the big takeaway I had, and I see it on tape too, but I disagree to an extent, but the lack of aggression and pushing the football and the lack of ability over the middle of the field. I see over the middle of the field now, yes, a lot of it's behind the line of scrimmage, within 10 yards, out. But I think Knicks can work the ball in the middle of the field. Fine. So we got Bama X coming into the super chat. Thank you so much. It's getting me some Kleenex for that one. It says, the more I sit and think about the way Sean Payton has gone about this quarterback situation in the draft, the more I'm convinced that he has this guy. He's using JJ to throw the teams off who he really wants. Very possible. I mean, it's all rumor season, right? But the one thing we have seen, and this has been true two drafts now, it seems like, is there's almost no smoke or report of what the Broncos are going to do before it happens. Nobody mentioned Josh Reynolds. Nobody mentioned Jones, the safety. There was PJ Locke coming back talk, but that might probably come in from somebody connected to PJ Locke more than the Broncos front office. So who do the Broncos like at running back? I don't know. A lot of the rumors are it's JJ McCarthy, but maybe Bama X is right. Maybe it's somebody else. We're going to find out. It does seem like, again, this is just rumors, so it seems like the Broncos are doing pretty good not getting rumors out, but it does seem like general consensus is if New England doesn't trade off three with Minnesota, it's going to be next to impossible for Denver to move up to Arizona with Arizona at four and outbid Minnesota. So if you want the Broncos to trade up for one of the top four quarterbacks, you better hope that New England trades off three and that Minnesota can then trade up there, because they can outbid Denver, and then Denver can move up to four. But I don't know. I think right now it's more likely New England sits there at three and takes a quarterback. We got Jess Canady coming in saying top six quarterbacks in this draft would go number one in next year's. Possible. A lot of things can change. Next year's quarterback class doesn't look awesome, but there's some intriguing names, no doubt, still all the same. I really like Carson Beck. Of course, there's a lot of talk for Shedeur Sanders. I think Riley Leonard is still an interesting quarterback, really good athlete. Casey Wegman from Texas A&M. I mean, he can spin it. I'm excited to see what he can do this year. Hopefully he can stay healthy. Looked pretty good last year before getting hurt. So, but I agree, this is a pretty good quarterback class. The one that really stands out for me then would be like 2026. I cannot pronounce his last name. At some point I'm going to have to get it. But Nico, last name starts with an I at Tennessee. I think he's got something. If you can bet somewhere, I have to go to a reservation to bet here, but maybe buying some future stock in Nico Heisman this season, because I think Tennessee's going to put up some points. Tennessee might have the best defensive prospect in the draft next year too. So let's see what the Vols do. They never seem to really live up to the hype, but Nico's a damn good quarterback. Monica coming in says, good morning, Nick. Hope you feel better. We're living. I'm feeling good hanging out with you guys. Michael Ronquillo, good morning, Nick. I'm Broncos for breakfast. Go Broncos. Hope you're doing well. Robert of Doom. Good name. Morning, Nick. Morning to see you. Always good to see you. Hope you're doing well. We got Gabe coming and says, true, goes to show no one knows who they like. Yeah, we'll see when we see it. Jess Canady coming in saying, Kleenex money, my friend. I'll blow my nose to that. Let me mute.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
That's what you guys came to see. The live stream, live blowing of the nose. Hope you guys are doing well. Mike's back on. George Payton's playing Chutes and Ladders, the rest of the league playing chess. Yeah, we'll see. I cannot pronounce the name. Nico, I am a Leva. He's fun. It was really weird to see. And now it's granted, some of it was the offensive style. But watching Iowa hold J.J. McCarthy and Michigan and to John Harbaugh's lowest yards per play in his career at Michigan in the Big Ten Championship, Iowa didn't move the ball past the 50 because, God, their offense is just freaking horrible, like a laughing stock, just pathetic. But they really held J.J. McCarthy and the Michigan offense to their worst offensive game of the year. Some of that might be because they knew they could play conservative and win. But then Iowa played Tennessee, and Nico moved the ball left and right in his first start ever as a true freshman. I mean, Tennessee offense isn't super translatable, but Nico's got something else to put on some mass. So we don't need to make, we don't need to spend too much time on a 2026 prospect, but he's good. Troy Boer coming in says, hey, Nick, seems like Sean Payton wants wide receivers who can block in the running game and running backs who can catch the ball and block well. Do new kickoff rules change the type of players we want? Ooh, that's a good point. Have a great show. I definitely think it emphasizes special teams and physicality. So playmakers with the balls in their hands and physicality when the ball's not in your hands. So I think that's true regardless. Cough coming. I think that's true regardless of the kickoff rules, but it probably emphasizes those things as well. So that was one of my big complaints to Jerry Jeudy. There's, you know, times he'd, you know, put the hat on the hat, but never really was physically dominant at the catch point or as a blocker. So that does seem to be important. And if you're going to work the middle of the field, quick game, crossers, et cetera, and have some of those high percentage plays become explosives from time to time, you need your wide receivers to block. So that's something that gets me really excited about Josh Reynolds. Cortland's a good blocker. Tim Patrick's a good blocker. Little Jordan Humphrey's a good blocker. Mims exists, but he can get bigger. That's not his game. That's fine. But yeah, looking for some playmakers and looking for some people who can block. It's never a bad idea to add players like that. BamX coming in says, paraphrasing, we know how to evaluate quarterbacks. It comes off as an attempt to purposely get someone to copy off your paper. Yeah, I mean, or it's just Sean Payton being Sean Payton. He's never been one for humility. He believes in himself. So I don't know who would be copying off the paper, but we'll see. We got Mike Gibbons coming in. 1999. Heck yeah. We'll keep the show rolling for 1999. It says, good morning. Good morning. So skip it there with the moo and the earning part. But thank you so much, Mike. 1999. That helps a heck of a lot keeping them in here. We got Oblivion Empire coming in saying, hey, Nick, hope you're doing well. And Alabama Chagrin coming in there saying, why is there no talk about Jordan Travis? Because Jordan Travis isn't a super accurate quarterback and not overall toolsy. He's fine. Apparently, he was really, really good in whiteboard sessions, but it doesn't seem like people are overly excited about him as an NFL player. He's the way they talked about him on the whiteboard, though, and the leadership, he's got a chance to be a heck of a coach. So put him on coach watch. Somebody should take him day three. It's too bad that he's injured and couldn't partake in the post-draft process. The post-season process, the pre-draft process, whatever you want to call it, because I think he could impress or at least have a chance to impress there. But as it stands, probably a day three guy and feels a little bit like somebody who doesn't have a big ceiling. A lot of misses on tape, throwing to some pretty good wide receivers. But somebody who can come in and really help a quarterback room. So day three, I think, is a good spot for him. If you had an established guy and they're a young guy, let's say you have Justin Herbert as your quarterback. He's your guy. He's still young. He's going to be there for a bit. Using a day three pick on a Jordan Travis to add to your room to get especially with what backup quarterbacks are getting paid these days, not a bad move. Not a bad move. But if you're looking for a guy to come in and be the savior, I don't know if I see that. So that's my take on Jordan Travis. I like him day three a lot, but I don't have expectation of him being a good starter. We got Rodney Garcia coming in saying, good morning, Nick. Hope you and your family had a wonderful Easter. We're living, man. We're living. Got the Easter bug. Cannot wait for the draft. First WrestleMania and then the draft. April seems like a winner for 2024. Go Broncos. Well, it's coming in sick. We're living and we're doing okay. So yeah, can't wait either. Good to see you, Rodney. We got Quentin Caldwell in the house and good morning, everyone. Quentin also saying, hope you feel better quickly, Nick. Honestly, the cold is like, it's annoying. Definitely drainage and now starting to get a little bit of a cough, but like no headache, no fever, just a mild cough. The thing that stinks is that I probably gave it to the little guy wherever I got it. I mean, it's wash your hands, you do everything you can, but you're dealing with bottles and around them somebody with a new immune system, so it's hard to not get them sick. And because of that, he is not sleeping the best. So that means I'm not sleeping the best, but that's okay. We'll positive attitude. It's going to pass. It's going to get a cold eventually, right? That's just, it's an inevitability. We no bubble boy here. Oblivion Empire, I hope you and the little one are doing great. Have a great show. He's really cute, and he's really starting to social smile. So that is a lot of fun. I cannot wait to hear him laugh. Troy coming in. Troy dropped that $9.99 super chat later, so we're going to get to Troy here. Again, this is, we're calling it a two-for-one. Troy, any chance we can trade back, acquire more picks, and draft quarterbacks day two and day three? I mean, I guess it's possible. I wouldn't say it's not possible. You have take a chance on Nix, Rattler, Penix day two if one of those guys is there, and then take another shot on Leary or Slovis or Travis, as we talked about there, or Milton thrown in. Yeah, that makes sense. If the Broncos want to do that, I mean, heck, even if they don't trade back, maybe that's something they can look to do. My skepticism here is that we have pretty good data to say that if you want a quality starting quarterback, typically they're round one. There are guys who fall through the cracks, but quarterbacks on like the top five most correlated positions to where they select in the draft, correlating to success. Now, correlation is not causation for all my statistical nerds out there, but the NFL does a pretty good job of separating the haves from the have-nots at quarterbacks. Now, that doesn't mean they bat 1,000% at the top of the draft. No, they're bust a lot too because teams feel the pressure to have to take a guy early, but there's probably some selection bias there because of that. There's more busts early and there's less day two hits because the quarterbacks of tangible ability typically go round one, even if they are hits or not. So day two quarterback, day three quarterback, some could argue that's maybe setting it on fire a little bit, just given the hit rate of the position. But heck, if Sean Payton thinks I can play, and you take it two shots there, especially in a trade back scenario, I'm not against it. Cough break. Heck yeah, baby. We're doing it. Lawrence comes in and says, everyone in my household is sick right now, too. My wife is not sick yet, but it's probably around the corner. She is typically gets sick after me. So at least she's on leave, I guess, because she can be home. I'm going to head into work and mask up and hide myself in my office. So hopefully nobody else gets sick. Richard Miles says, good morning, Nick. Great to catch you live. I may have missed this, but missing day one's quarterback. Who do you think we go through day two or three? I think that I've heard some talk that Tagovailoa, the brother whose name's escaping me right now, not Tua, but Talia Tagovailoa, he's a day three option, but he apparently impressed some in Broncos brass. So watch for him. I think Leary might have had the second or third best throwing session at the combine. Always thought he had the arm, but Kentucky's was kind of erratic last season on offense. And so he's one day three that intrigues me. And Slovis, I mean, I remember Slovis. It's all these quarterbacks against Iowa in bowl games, but he was throwing to Michael Pittman and Amon-Ra St. Brown, but USC went against Iowa in the Holiday Bowl in 2019. And Slovis was a true freshman, and he was throwing darts, man. He got hurt, lit up by A.J. Epinesa, I believe, in that game. Had to come out, but that first half, he was just throwing around the yard. And he had an unbelievable combine from a testing perspective. So a lot of starts under his belt. There's Brock Purdy's come around rarely, but I think he's somebody that definitely could be intriguing for the Broncos in that day three spot. So those are some guys that stand out. In the day two, I call them the tier four quarterbacks for me. You Rattler, Nix, and Penix. I think those are all viable options there day two. We got String Guy coming in and saying, good morning, Nick. What's up? Running late this morning. Yeah, I had to get the baby going and use some saline drops and try to figure out the tubs. The switch on the tub's not working, trying to figure that out too. And we were using the tub to help clear out his sinuses, the steam. Pet's head's falling off. Come on, guys. Falling so off. Good morning. Sorry to hear some sickness going around. Hope you feel better. Yeah, we're in good spirits. Good spirits matter a lot. No toxic positivity here, but positive mental attitude for the Matt Foley friends in the crowd. If you know who Matt Foley is, drop it in the chat. Drop your favorite Matt Foley quote. okay, so what I want to talk about today in the last 10, 15 minutes of the show, and maybe we'll do a mock draft on Wednesday, but I know you meant you were running late, string guy. It's okay. Chris Thomason, who is one of the better Broncos inside beat reporters, working for the Denver Gazette. He is, I think he's up there pushing his way up with Mike Kliss in terms of the most plugged in Broncos insider. So if you haven't followed Chris Thomason on Twitter or wherever, that it's definitely worth doing. But he tweeted out on Saturday, that word is the Broncos have a good amount of interest in Tennessee running back Jalen Wright, who rushed for 1,013 yards last season as a volunteer. His stock is considered to be rising, and he could be a day two selection. There's a good chance Denver takes a running back in the draft. Okay, so running back, what does that mean for the Broncos? You look at the room, and in the short term, they look okay. I think you can go into the season with the room that you have and be like, yep, that's a fine room. Devonta Williams last season was not the same guy. We can just say it point blank. Issues that he had coming into Denver and his early pre-injury time in Denver was that he would leave yards on the field because his vision and picking the right hole and pacing to the gap were all pretty poor as a running back. But he was one of the best tackle-breaking backs in football. His yards after contact per attempt, I believe, was second to fourth in the NFL, his first year and a quarter in the NFL. So despite not having great vision, he was able to make the first guy miss, shrug off tackles and be strong, and then gain yards after that. Well, after the injury, and it's not his fault or anything like that, but he's lost a little bit of that yards after contact per attempt. The breaking tackle ability just wasn't there last season. I think he dropped to in the 30s in yards after contact per attempt, definitely in the 20s, and going from top 5 to 20 is going to change you a lot. Not as explosive anymore, planting that foot and getting downhill. So honestly, I think last year the Broncos run blocking was pretty good. Running back from Williams, not so much. So it makes sense the Broncos are looking to add somebody else there. I mean, it's going to have to probably be the bread and butter of this team with whoever the quarterback is, rookie or not. Yeah, you want to run the ball to get those linebackers to suck in and hopefully get into some base and kind of dictate what the defense is doing. And last season, Williams wasn't getting it done. We'll see what it is year two coming off the injury, but it's his last year on the contract. And we know what second contract running backs look like historically. So I don't know if I would be looking to pay him, especially that injury, unless he comes back for cheap. Sucks, but that's the nature of the game. Cough break. So that's where I'm at with Javonta Williams. Sorry, got hair. Living with a golden retriever and a long-haired cat can sometimes be a real joy. If you ever see, well, hopefully the camera's not good enough, you can see all the hair that I'm covered in half the time. Then you have P. Ryan. Last year, his contract, a usable piece, but not really a feature back. Just doesn't really have much gas when he is running, especially when under center. Just good auxiliary piece. And you also have Jaleel McLaughlin, who the Broncos started to utilize more last season. But I'll tell you, I get former Broncos running back who was explosive, but limited in a lot of areas to the game. And that limits you schematically when I watch McLaughlin. I think he's more explosive and has more lateral agility. But because he's not really a good pass catcher, because he's a full-on detriment as a pass protector, I think the Broncos, McLaughlin's far from a lock to even make the roster at this point. So just because you need running backs who can block and do different things for you. And he's limited in that regard. So definitely looking for, it makes sense that they're looking for another running back. So sorry, I was laughing at Robot of Doom here saying, I think we may, you're actually saying you ate way too many Reese's peanut butter eggs. I didn't have a single one this year. So hopefully in the future. So the Broncos running back room, it makes sense. They're looking for a body. I do think that this is, as you guys had touched on, not an awesome running back position in the draft this year. I think 2025 looks to be a great running back class. I think something like 12 of the top 15 rushing yard leaders in college football in 2023 are returning, which is just a crazy amount of running backs. Makes sense. They're getting bags now. And running back might be the second most important position, third most important position on offense at the college level, just because you don't have to worry about the shelf life stuff. So, yeah, Broncos, Jalen Wright. Jalen Wright has had a great season. Definitely a explosive back. Can get downhill. I ran a 4.38 at the combine, 210 pounds, 5'10". So really just a great build for a running back, and had a great year. Dynamic. Just a lot of explosive runs on tape there at Tennessee this last season. Good balance. Made Bruce Feldman's freak list too, which is pretty awesome. Clocked in 23.6 miles per hour in practice. Has had a 44-inch vertical and a 10-foot, 8-inch broad jump. Really good back. I think definitely day two fits for him. I think there are probably three backs I'm confident in saying will go day two, as confident as anybody can be in the draft. And Jonathan Brooks, he probably would have been the number one back if not for the injury coming out of Texas. Jalen Wright. And then also my number one back is Trey Benson out of Florida State, man. He's explosive, had a great year out there, and made things a little easier for somebody like Jordan Travis, 216, 6 foot. So any of those backs there, the Broncos are looking day two back. I think they make sense. Personally, I am not looking to use a day two pick on the running back position. I think somebody mentioned in here, I don't know who it was. I'd love to give you credit. It's talking about the Broncos having so many holes that doesn't make sense to take a running back that early. I think unless you trade back and get a lot of extra picks, I probably would be not looking to use a day two selection on running back. Now, that's kind of where you want to be taking a lot of your running backs in general. But if I was, you know, in charge of the Broncos and looking to draft and trade back, I think probably day three, there's still very serviceable backs that you can get in there. Marshawn Lloyd out of USC stands out to me. I think Will Shipley, more of like a pass catcher, more of a P Ryan replacement, but ran well, good size. Ray Davis at Kentucky, I like a good bit as well. A really talented back. Dylan Johnson out of Washington had a good season this last year. I know he's transferred a little older, but some pass protection reps from him are awesome. I know Isaac Garendo out of Louisville had a really good combine, maybe even a historic combine. I don't love the vision, but he can be serviceable. And somebody who I think the 40 is over. I know I've listed the 40, but that's just because what I have in front of me. The 40 is overrated for the running back position. I look for play speed. And Audric Estime out of Notre Dame didn't run well. Ran a 4.7. He ran better at the pro day. I think it was in the 4.5s. But Audric Estime out of Notre Dame had a heck of a year this year. Now, granted, Notre Dame's line was awesome, but good vision, good balance, strong, good pace. And he ran a 4.7. I don't know how much you guys follow fantasy football or just the draft community in general or the NFC, but Kyren Williams, another Notre Dame back, fell in the draft because he's really good tape at Notre Dame, but fell in the draft because he had a terrible 40. The Rams drafted, picked him up this year. And then Kyren Williams went on a tear in the, for the Rams the second half of the season, because I mean, if you can have balance and vision, you got okay size, you can do some stuff. So let's pull up what his stats were down this stretch here. I mean, I just remember him going off the last half of the season here. God, yeah, he really did go off. 100 yards against the Colts, 100 yards against the Cardinals, 158 yards against the Cardinals, 143 yards against the Cardinals, 88 yards against the Browns, good defense, 114 yards against the Ravens, 152 yards against the Commanders, 104 yards against the Saints, and that doesn't even include his rushing or his receiving total too. So kind of just a, why am I going on Kyren Williams stats? I think the 40 is a little overrated, and Estime's tape says that he can be a good player there. And if he falls to the fourth or fifth round because he had a bad 40, then scoop him up because the tape is good. So there are some really good backs available. And yeah, we got one right here. We got Tyrone Tracy coming in here saying Joel O saying Tyrone Tracy. Yes, Tyrone Tracy as well is a really interesting option. 5'10", 210 pounds. He's a little bit more of a gadget player right now, but he just has such a fun style. And former wide receiver, moves to running back, good pace. I think he was really impressive at the Shrine Bowl as well. So still learning the position, but day three, if you're looking for somebody that can do some stuff out of the backfield, he's a great, great player. High school quarterback, goes to Iowa, RIP for his offensive history there at Iowa, and then transferred to Purdue and has a good year last year. Elias says, are you high? I don't think so, but Lord knows I didn't get much sleep, and I'm DayQuil does things to me, man. Says, have you seen our running games last several years? Yeah, they've been bad, unfortunately. Now, some of that is because the quarterback and other aspects, wide receivers, running back position too. And luckily, running back is a relatively easy position to fill, but they definitely need some backs. I mean, last season, I can say the only aspect of the running game that I was impressed, or running backs that I was really impressed with, was Samaje Perine in the 4-minute drills. When the Broncos had to, you know, dump it off to him and he'd make something happen. But other than that, not a lot of explosive runs, not a lot of broken tackles, not very good. And that was with a pretty good run blocking last season. So makes sense that they're looking for running back. One thing I will say before we wrap it up here, because I definitely need to get out of here because I'm, I guess I still got stuff to do. But taking a running back early this year, are you in your window? Because running backs, as we've seen with injuries and everything like that, they can fall off pretty quickly. Are you ready to hit the ground running with a top 100 pick on running back selection is a premium pick? I don't care what you say. Are you ready to use a premium selection on the running back, considering where you are as in your competitive window? That's my biggest question. I don't know if you are. So day three is probably where I'm looking. Rather than using one of the top 100, a top 100 selection on the running back, there's bodies to be had there that can really help the room and get you a cost-controlled asset that you can utilize in the offense. So that's where I'm at with the running back spot. You guys can let me know if I am off on that. That is okay. I think that, you know, we'll see how it plays out. But I think running back, I know Blake Corum has definitely had a better postseason pre-draft circuit than a lot of people thought. Some people really like Bucky Irving. I don't really love his size. Braylon Allen, he's interesting, but I almost wonder if he's the kind of a little bit of a one-trick pony. But there are running backs to be had. I think I would probably wait to day three and see what I can get there. So let's wrap it up here. Let's see if there's any super chats as we close it on out here. Hope you're doing well. We got Robot of Doomsday, also Nick Wise and Simmons signed. He's slow playing the market. Fine, he's a vet. He's going to get a decent contract still. Hopefully he can land at some spot. I heard some talk that maybe he was going to go to the Steelers, but things didn't progress there as he'd hoped. So we'll see. Doors open still for him, a lot of spots. Lawrence Rivera says, Keith Brugman sucks. He's young. I don't know what he's talking about. Keith Brugman. We love Keith. He's saying, Keith, that guy sucks. So Rasheed Rice. So he's talking about Rasheed Rice. Yeah, the all I can say about the Rasheed Rice stuff is that very, very fortunate more people weren't injured and people weren't killed. So be smart, folks. Don't be like that. Chase Wilner says, go, Nick. Hope you're doing well. Good morning. I'm a little late. I hope I didn't miss much. You missed nothing. It's just me on here, so obviously nothing important for sure. Pearl Heater, good morning. I'm late. That's okay. That's fine. We're about to get out of here. Daniel Myers says, good morning, Nick. Good to see you. Hope you're doing well. Keith says, I was on time. Good morning. Goodbye. It's okay. Also, Jeremy's in here saying, I'd like a receiver, defensive line, an edge at 76. Cornerback makes sense there. Tight end starts to make sense there. Offensive tackle makes sense there. Pretty much, we'll see what happens. It's so hard because I don't think the Broncos are going to pick at 12. I think they're going to trade back in the end. And then their pick's going to be different. And we saw last season, the Broncos up and down and around. They're not going to be sitting there static, holding still. They're going to be moving around in the draft. So will they even have 76? I don't know. We'll see. James asks, says, you go after quarterback first. Yeah, quarterback sets the table, but you don't force it if you don't like it. That's my big takeaway. Scott should use his magic to convince Atlanta to give us Bijan for a 7th-round pick. That would be a lot of fun. That would be a lot of fun. Cliss also mentioned going after running back. So there you go. There you have it. Yeah, folks, we got Michael coming in here saying, get well soon, Nick. Going to get on it. Going to try. So hopefully you guys are doing well. Sorry for the shorter show today and all the pauses with the sniffles and the coughs. But we'll be back again. I'll be back again tomorrow night with Carl on Building the Broncos. And I'll be back again Thursday morning, hopefully feeling a lot better. So thank you guys so much for joining me today. Make sure you're following me on Twitter at NickKendallMHH. Also, make sure you're following me at Mile High Huddle. If you haven't done so yet, Facebook.com/MileHighHuddle and Facebook.com/MileHighHuddlePod. And as the ticker says here underneath, please subscribe, like, and share over on social media. Click the thumbs up on the way out. Hope you guys are doing well. Gonna be definitely drinking some tea today and hopefully not too crazy of a day at work. Appreciate all of you for hanging tough with me. And yeah, we'll be better day by day. I feel fine other than pretty damn tired, but that's okay. So appreciate everyone coming in here. Want to give another shout out to all the people who dropped in the stars. Bama X, Jess Gennady, Troy Boer, Mike Givens, Quentin Caldwell, Oblivion Empire, Lawrence Rivera, Michael Ronquillo. If I missed anybody else on Facebook, I'm sorry. Scott's typically the one who handles that side of things because he has double monitors going on. So a little bit more technically advanced than I am. Scott's a tech nerd, but we love him for it. So appreciate everyone. Have a great rest of your day. Have a good Monday. Hope everyone had a good Easter if you celebrate whatever other holidays. Happy April Fools. When I read the running back day two this year with two top 100 picks, got to be April Fools. Nah, probably with a trade back. So we'll see. Thanks, everyone. Continue to choose kindness and compassion always. Go Broncos. Choose kindness and compassion always. Go Broncos.